Well, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about duties that need to be done in the church. And Tanya brought it up again. Thank you for that. But today, we're going to go away from them just a little bit because of what's happening this coming week. I'm sure you're all well aware that on Thursday is Halloween. And Halloween, for most of us, is just kind of a fun night, particularly, and people dress up and they take on costumes, a representation of something that they are not. And they go around and they knock on doors and they say, trick or treat, which really is a threat to the homeowner. If you don't give me a treat, I'm going to play a trick on you. But most of it is in just good fun. But there's some things about Halloween that are really scary. Some of them are just scary because we scare ourselves. But some things are very, very real. And so as we open our doors to the superheroes and the princesses and the cowboys and whatever people dress up for, we're also going to see people dressed up as demons and ghosts and spirits and witches and all of those things. And again, we look at that in fun for the most part. But we have to recognize that there is a reality in the witches and the wizards, demons, ghosts, spirits. They are very real. And some people want to just dismiss them. That's foolish belief. There is no such thing as spirits and ghosts. And in some communities, maybe you can get by with that, at least for the most part. Not in this community. Some of you have seen those things. Many of you have seen the results of spirits. Some of you, I'm one of them, know people who claim to be witches or wizards. They have a connection to a demon. They might not call it a demon, but that's what it is. A witch or wizard has a familiar. A demon that they're familiar with, that makes possible things that ordinarily wouldn't be able to happen, like fortune telling, or setting curses, spells. They're very real. And God forbids us to do that. But they're real. And so as we read the New Testament, we know that Jesus dealt with evil spirits. And I'd like to read some of these stories out of the Bible, or at least parts of them, that deal with demons, evil spirits. A demon is an angel, just like Michael or Gabriel or Lucifer, Satan. We'll start at Mark 1, verse 34. Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. And at that point, he didn't want the testimony of the demons. Or this a few verses later. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And this one in Luke 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Skipping down to the 17th verse. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, Do not rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Jesus is saying, hey, there's a right perspective here. And as great as it is to have power to get rid of these demons, it's more important that you are God's people. Now, as I mentioned that power to overcome demons, you have that power through Jesus. There was an incident in Paul's time where people were trying to drive out demons, and they said, in the name of this Jesus whom Paul preaches, depart. And the demon said, I know Paul, I know Jesus, but who are you? And the man who was possessed with the demons jumped on him and just beat him to pieces. So just saying the name doesn't mean a thing. But when you come in Jesus' name, when you are part of the body of Christ, when you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then you have the authority to say in Jesus' name, get out of here, to those demons. And they understand the power of Jesus. Now, since demons are spirits, they don't have a physical body. They can't be seen except by those to whom God has given the ability to discern spirits. Or if they can take on some physical aspect. And so, perhaps the easiest way to take on a physical aspect is for the demon to move into a body, a human body, an animal. But understand that God has given humans the ability to choose whether they will allow a demon a place in their life. And so if you say no, you may not live here in me, a demon can't come. But if you give a little bit, then give a little more, the demon has its foot in your doorway. Horoscopes is another way. You read the horoscope and you say, it's just somebody's writing. And then it happens. And that demon has a foot in the door. Because now you question, oh yes, there's some power here. There's some truth to that horoscope. And so you start reading them more and more. And if a demon can make something happen the way you expect it, he's got your control. He's got your permission to be part of your life. Ouija board is a prime example of saying, hey, come, speak to me, demon. Now you don't recognize it as a demon, but there's a demon behind it, looking to control your life. We don't have time to go into all the stories in the Bible about demons, but I'd like to choose a couple. Jesus and four of his disciples were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and that's another story. But as they came down, there was a crowd gathering, and Jesus went over. And a man in the crowd said, Jesus, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generations, Jesus said, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell on the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus replied. "Everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And Jesus drove out that demon. Here's another example. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Lake of Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken the chains and been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and was drowned. Now the demons knew that they had no choice but to obey Jesus. Now, I draw a couple conclusions from this story, and I'd like to share them with you. One is that the demons didn't want to go into the abyss. What does that mean? They would rather live in pigs or be free wherever. But the abyss, they didn't want to be there. That's hell. That's part of that separation from anything good. And if you read other places in the Bible, perhaps you can understand that when Satan and his cohorts were driven out of heaven, as Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." All right? It would appear that God said, "All right, you're out of heaven. I'm going to let you go to earth, but you're going to live by certain rules." And apparently there were some of those fallen angels who did not agree to that. And they have already been confined to the abyss. But those that apparently agreed to this, whatever that agreement might have been, and I'm speculating because it's not written in the scriptures, but they were allowed to be free on earth. And those are the demons that we deal with. But part of the rules are that they will do what God says when he says it. And so here we are with 1,000 demons in this man. And they beg Jesus, "Don't send us to that abyss. Let us go to the pigs." So Jesus said, "Okay, you can go to the pigs." And then you say, "Well, Jesus, that was just really bad. Economically, you destroyed that farmer or whomever." But remember, in Jewish society, pigs were unclean. So why would anybody be raising pigs in that area? Yeah, money. And they didn't care what was unclean, right? Those pigs didn't belong there. So Jesus said, "Okay, go into the pigs." And you killed two birds with one stone, so to speak. Demons are out of the man, and then they got rid of the pigs. And then, of course, the demons had to go somewhere else, and I don't know where that was. But the fact is, Jesus said, out! And they had to get out. Now, as early as Exodus, we find reference to evil spirits and witches, wizards. They've always been with us. People want power. And so they look around until they can find some way of gaining that power. And one is to become familiar with the demon. Leviticus 20, 27. A man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist among you must be put to death. You are to stone them, and their blood will be on their own heads. Here's the next one, Deuteronomy 18. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens. Oh, listen to that one. Engages in witchcraft, casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. Pretty clear. We're not supposed to do that. Let me break down some of those words. Sorcery. The use of power gained from the assistance or control of evil spirits. Interpreting omens. That's believing in a sign or event regarded as a portent of evil or good. Just a word about that. I think all of us do a certain amount of that. Oh, that's a good sign. How many of us have looked up during a funeral and seen an eagle and said, oh, that's a good sign? Or other things. On Facebook, if you do this, or if you pass this on, well, the one I see most often, it's a picture of money. And if you pass this on, within 24 hours, you're going to have money coming your way. You see that one? Did it ever occur to you who sent that to you? And think how wealthy that person is? That ought to really answer the question, right? But we're not to believe in those things. Witchcraft, the practice of magic. That's not sleight of hand and, you know, card tricks and that kind of stuff. This is black magic. Especially using spells, communing with a demon. Witch or wizard, a person who professes or is supposed to practice magic or sorcery. Casting spells is using magic to make something happen or to make something happen to someone. Consulting the dead, that's conducting a seance, usually through a medium. You know, trying to bring up your father or your mother or your uncle, somebody who's passed on. You are not to do that. Now let me tell you the way I understand this. When somebody is a medium, they're working with a demon. And that demon can impersonate anybody they want or anything they want. And so when you say, I want to talk to my father, that demon can be your father in your sight. Or your mother, or anybody else. Now, I'm not going to say that God doesn't bring remembrances and dreams to us. I don't want to throw that away. But when you call up the dead, understand, they can't come back. And so what you see is not them. It's an impersonation. That's a demon. Now, once in a while, God will use an angel to bring back some sort of apparition. And I want to tell you that story. God had left King Saul. And King Saul was looking at a war. And Samuel, his mentor, had died. And he was terrified. Then Saul said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so that I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes. And at night, he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know that's what Saul has done. He has cut off the Medians and the spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. Now remember, this woman has a familiar, a demon, who can imitate anybody. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. You see, this woman recognized that this apparition wasn't her familiar. She knew right away there was something wrong. But God had stepped in and he said, "I'm going to give Saul my word." And the apparition she saw was not what she expected. But God came, sent an angel to be whatever vision Saul wanted to see. And God spoke to him. And you know what? The next day, Saul died in battle. We are not to deal with demons, spirits. It's forbidden. So, the scariest part of Halloween, in my mind, demons, spirits, sorcerers, witches and wizards, they're all real. It's not something to laugh at or play with. Some of you have seen them. Some have seen their work. All of you probably know people who've seen this. Don't give them a foothold in your life. Nothing. We live in a community that has demons in it. They have a foothold here. And there are witches and wizards out there in our lives. People you rub shoulders with. People whose allegiance and power lies in a demon that has been thrown out of heaven. Do not allow even the slightest permission for a demon to get into your life. Let's pray together. Father, You care for us. And so we ask that you help us. Help us to not allow any cracks in our life that these demons might get into us. Help us to rely wholly on your Spirit, the name of Jesus. Not just as vibrations in the air, a word that we speak, but as a being, you, living not just even with us, but in us, as you promised. Help us to be your people. And we're not worthy, but we come in Jesus' name. Amen.